welcome to a Tuesday morning in the great city of Atlanta. The steakhouse is open. Grab a seat at the table. Party of two, four. I don't know. If you want to sit at the bar, we have some ones available. I think most people listen. It's kind of a singular thing, listening to the radio. It's probably more of a, you know, something you do alone, right? It's not a communal type thing.
When you're on a road trip or doing your thing, do you guys listen to the podcast together? Do you listen to the sports shows together? Or is it mostly by yourself?
That's a good question. So, you know, if I'm driving, I'm going to control the podcast or the listen that's happening. And I'm my kids are absolutely not trying not to listen to that. But usually we try to land on something that is a couples type thing for driving to the beach, right? And there's enough great content out there. Or you listen on the Odyssey app to all the great shows. I've told you without giving too many details. I don't know what you're allowed to say about ratings and what you're not allowed to say.
What is that D word that you used to scream and do a big old thing?
Domination!
That's what you can say.
It's the biggest ratings in the history of the format. And never has one station done this well that's doing sports as this station is doing, especially against, I guess, anybody else attempting the format.
I mean, I think at this point with the bonuses you're getting from the ratings, that, I mean, I see Dylan, I see Caleb, we got Smokin' Joe. Yeah. I think there could be like a dinner for 12 with Rusty, all your side pieces, and you got to foot the bill. Well, I mean, you're running this train, are the conductor, and you are killing it. You are the queen of a domination.
You know what they say, Steak. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
That's
right
true.
Now you're wearing the crown.
Yeah.
And so the heaviness is the bill that you have to pay.
Well,
this out.
Well, let's see.
I think it's actually thick is the wallet that the guy who is running the show.
One more month for this next quarter, the month of June. So let's not jinx ourselves.
Okay.
Let's just say it was a very good May for everybody at the radio station. It's a very good May. So
congratulations.
Yeah, to Mike Conte. He's the guy that gets all the accolades, right? So thanks, everybody, for listening. It is what should be a continued really nice week. It's a happy birthday to my son, Bobby, turning 14 years old today.
How is that possible?
So another birthday. It is an onslaught of graduations from middle school and high school. We got a birthday of 18. We got my son's 14. My anniversary is coming up. Although I am not in town, I'm on a golf trip with my buddies. I told you that's why I've been, you know, in training to be a better golfer. So I think it's my 23rd anniversary.
Jeez,
but is being out of town a big deal for that or not really?
Yes, but I'm sure she's giving you just do something the weekend before.
Yeah,
right?
That's that was the weekend before.
Oh, so the weekend after.
Thursday or Thursday night, right?
No, listen, it's a great gift when you go away after you've been married this long.
A great gift is I'm going away. She'll be with her sister-in-law and having a great time and the whole deal.
Good.
So, anyways, how are you?
Awesome.
You were away for part of the weekend.
Went to Panama City and then came back for the latest hottest ticket at Lake Oconee is we are all watching the Lake Oconee Wild Things, which is part of this post-college, pre-pro baseball league that they have down there.
Explain to me what this is. So you graduate from, is it top SEC, ACC
It's graduate
schools?
High school.
Oh, graduate high school.
And if you you're not going right away to do college baseball, you're still trying to you have a full-time job. So it's literally travel baseball for post-college. And it's this league, it's how the Bananas started, it's all that, so it's super, super fun. We have Lake Life Larry, who is the voice of. So we are all involved, and it's such a fun community thing to be doing. So
where are those games?
They are at Lake Oconee Academy, which is, if you haven't seen that campus, y'all, it's a private school.
It's a nice spot, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
So
yeah,
did they have a team last year?
I will have to answer those questions at a later date when I know what's going
on.
I just went to my first game when I got back on Saturday and had a ball.
Your hubby's the voice of the
It's Lake Life stadium. Larry, voice of, along with Tom Petrorek, who is former voice of the Braves. I traveled with him for many, many years. Bob Rathman, Tom and I. Tom used to play for the White Sox. Awesome man. So he and Lake Life Larry are doing all the commentary. I mean, it is so good for the community and fun. So, if you guys head that way. The Wild Things. Great gear,
the
whole thing. Yeah, Lake Oconee Wild Things. So, yeah, I've been doing that and beautiful weather, so enjoy the weekend. But what I'm amazed at stake on a Monday when the Braves are off, that men, women, And a lot of men, I just got a text from Rusty, 10 friends, 50 plus years old, were dialed in to a softball game in the Women's College World Series between Texas Tech and Oklahoma last night.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it as well, and I watched the final few innings. But, I mean, listen, this is a not to say that women's sport is not having a great, you know, renaissance. Renaissance isn't in the world because they never registered prior. So it's a continued momentum post-Caitlin Clark in women's basketball. Obviously, Oklahoma in the middle of a dynasty. They have won multiple titles, four in a row. I guess what's the stat I saw? When you take away the COVID year, only two schools have won national titles in softball in like
That's
9
amazing.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this dynasty in sports, which always attracts more interest. And then you have this first million-dollar player, Najari Kennedy, and she's pitching every pitch, every inning. She has not left the mound in the regionals or the Super Regionals or the World Series, which is remarkable. She came from Stanford, and she's out there for Texas Tech getting after it, and she's up against Oklahoma. It was an elimination game. It was in prime time on ESPN. It was like 8:30, perfect. Braves did not have a game.
Yep.
So I'm telling you, that's a perfect storm. Braves were off when the game landed. Oklahoma, Texas Tech. So I'm not surprised that a lot of folks – I literally – Bobby's like, Daddy, I don't do – women's softball. I was like, well, let me explain what's going on right here. This is the first pitcher that's ever made this much money. That's a dynasty.
$1.2 million is their NIL number.
They've won four straight titles. And by the way, they were one strike away from winning it. And Oklahoma hit a two-run homer to tie it at 2-2. Texas Tech stunned, but they're the home team. They get to bat in the bottom of the seventh, and they score. And now it'll be a Texas Tech final. And no reason to believe that Najari Kennedy won't pitch every single inning of the championship as well.
The numbers of the day that's going to blow your mind and you're going to say, is that possibly right? Yes, it is. She has thrown 466 consecutive pitches. She pitched five straight complete games in 11 days, allowing 16 hits total, four runs in the five games. Are you serious?
Well, I mean, listen, Woo! When you have a dominant pitcher and you don't have the same torque in the same situation, it's more natural motion, you can have one player turn around an entire franchise. I mean, that's exactly what's happening because you don't even do a pitch count situation. They can throw out there every single game,
right?
And that's why it's happening. So give Texas Tech credit for getting enough runs across. It's not like Oklahoma's easy to score against, but I mean, that's what's going on. A absolute, utter domination, very similar to Caitlin Clark. Iowa basketball was not on the map prior. Caitlin Clark showed up, and it was a one-man show that took a program to the next level. It's exactly what's happening with Texas Tech, and it'll be fascinating to watch this underdog. They had never been in the tournament or hadn't been since 2000.
First appearance for Texas Tech in the Women's College World Series.
Okay, first appearance ever. And it doesn't matter how many innings. It's just never going to hurt your arm.
That's incredible.
Bo, is that right?
It's a different throwing motion. It's more natural. So the only thing you really got to deal with is endurance. Now, there are plenty of girls out there that have to have elbows or shoulder surgeries and things like that. And that's from pitching incorrectly. If you're taught or trained how to pitch with the right throwing motion, yeah, you can go. Some context for Najari Kennedy. Not only has she thrown 466 pitches in this World Series, if you go back to last year with Stanford, because they went to the Women's College World Series last year, she is up to 773 consecutive pitches in the Women's College World Series.
So you're telling me Stanford Tremendous. Didn't pitch anybody else either?
Correct. She's that good. And a lot of them don't, because, you know, you'll have multiple games in a day to where you'll use maybe a different starter in game two, but it's nothing to see starter from game one come in later in that game. But then sometimes you just see the same pitcher go. You know, if you have an hour break in between some of these games, you know, that's all they really need.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a fitness and stamina thing, depending how hot it is, as opposed to the arm issue. Which
a lot
is,
less torque on the arm throwing.
Yeah, it's got to be because, I mean, nobody else is pitching. It's fascinating to watch.
It really is.
But Oklahoma out, I wonder if the number will be as high. I mean, she's going to bring him there. But Oklahoma playing is Oklahoma is a dynasty. Like North Carolina women's soccer is a dynasty. Or when Duke or Syracuse lacrosse or whatever. A lacrosse story is its own story. Didn't Cornell just win the national title? Our buddy John Gordon, who played lacrosse, Cornell just won the national title in men's lacrosse, which is our buddy Chris Cotter does those games. So there's a lot of great college stories. Sandra will update you on all the super regionals that are coming up. and all the teams that did not make it, including both of ours here, Georgia and Georgia Tech.
He's back. Freddy Gonzalez is your new Braves third base coach because Matt Tuiasosopo got demoted, fired, however you want to say it. He is back with the minor league program. Gosh, Dake, it was so bizarre world to hear that, all right, hop on a Zoom. We got it at 6:45, and I texted you guys going, this is weird. So sure enough, Alex Anthopoulos explains away that this is the change we're making right now.
Yeah, I've never seen so much dialogue, and I read the entire transcript, and I wish I could have some of that time back. Like the most I've ever read about a third base coach in my life. Know Freddy Gonzalez well. We both do. Absolutely a scapegoat is Tuiasosopo. A lot of one-run games that I guess they're blaming a lot of moments on him. Alex basically said we can do better at that position or whatever, and that we can do better in our coaching staff than what he's doing. We can't move our first base coach to third. That's not going to work. We need an experienced third base coach. Okay, so Freddy Gonzalez moves from Philadelphia. Is that where he was living?
Yeah, he was in Philadelphia and doing studies and the whatnots on umpires up there, helping them with some umpires.
Who's them?
Phillies. He was with the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
We got the Diamondbacks here for the next three. Spencer Strider, Zach Gallen on the mound tonight. Stay with us through the break because not only Stake is poo-pooing the move, but what came out of the Alex Anthopoulos presser regarding most importantly, in my opinion, Marcelo Ozuna and his hip.
Yeah, no, that's a big
deal. And the A.J. Smith Shaver when he got hurt and what happened in the dugout. Why isn't he freaking out about that? So he explains it really good. I think you'll want to pay attention for sure. It's really, really good.
I'm poo-pooing that a third base coach is the reason or is the guy going to blame for where we're sitting. I mean, I know you're not literally blaming
more to it. I think there's way too more to it. I'm going to explain my two cents worth.
We'll hear that when we come back. We got 2 hours of radio, and we hope you'll be with us for it. Stake and Sandra on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Night 22, you're locked into the Steakhouse. Shakira rolling through the ATL last night on a Monday night. And from everything I heard, my wife was there. My daughter was there. A lot of folks. Talked to my buddy Andrew Saltzman, who runs the arena. A joyful night, to say the least. A superstar. She is, what do you guess, mid-50s or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, I guess so. She looks incredible. She's so pretty. Naturally pretty.
Oh, my God. My daughter, who is 18, was like, she is so
She's 48.
Cool. She is so cool. And normally, you know, teenagers don't say that about 50-year-old women. It's supposed to be a great show. I can't help but think about the brand of Jennifer Lopez because they put them together at Super Bowl against each other. And there's no way there wasn't, whether it was a healthy or a more contentious rivalry between the two. These two older pop stars.
Latina pop stars
that are put front and center at the Super Bowl that it both do their own thing and then have to come together. And, you know, the world being what it is, trying to figure out who's sexier or hotter or who did a better job or who's got a better voice. And, you know, they naturally pitted against each other. But I went back and watched J-Lo at the American Music Awards because you told me to. Well, she does like an 8-minute dance routine to the best songs of the year. And I just kind of felt like it just, I don't know, man. Like, she's almost trying too hard, and it's the same J-Lo, and that, you know, I don't know, maybe, like, the constant need to just, I guess, you're a pop star, you got to be out there all the time. But that was nothing that was compelling that we, right? I mean, what did you think of that whole thing?
Well, I told you, I said, gosh, I want somebody to go watch it because I was underwhelmed, and I just thought it's the same outfit. It's the same hairstyle. It's the same move. It's almost the same dance. And like she's borrowing from circa 1990 where Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera came out with Madonna.
That part. I'm making out with a girl, and I'm making out with a guy, and I couldn't agree with you more. Like, that played huge when we were shocked by it 20 years ago in Madonna and Britney. nobody's shocked by it or titillated by it necessarily.
Why are you going to say titillate?
And then, you know, the whole Ben Affleck kind of essentially dumping her, which I'm sure this is like, I need to get back out there whole thing. I don't know.
But the same could be said for Shakira. Okay, she's doing the same thing she was 20 years ago, but it's different, right?
Seems classier.
She seems like she's not trying. Maybe it's trying as hard or something.
Who cheats on Shakira?
Like she got cheated, right? Her husband.
What does he look
like? Girl. Piquet is the last name.
Is he a soccer player?
Yes.
Is that what he was?
He is a beautiful human.
So he cheated on her, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, J-Lo, Ben just was like, I don't like this all this attention, and I don't like...
Listen, the two of them, go off in a corner and write a book about that relationship, because I'm real sick of hearing it, but please.
But Shakira's husband cheated on her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was on a revenge tour a couple of years ago, just like, I don't think she'll be lonely. I think she'll be okay. But anyway.
I think she's going to be just...
Yeah, and who's playing tonight? Talk about the other end of the spectrum tonight.
Oh, right?
What do we got tonight?
We got Metallica, Pantera, and Suicidal Tendencies. MB Stadium.
Wow.
Oh, it's at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, 50-yard line.
They're on that
tour. You got
50-yard
line?
Yeah, M72. I have 50-yard line tickets, and they are on the 50-yard line.
Oh, wow.
That's
when did you
amazing.
Get the seats?
So I actually hit up a buddy of mine who I get Falcons tickets from, who is a member in the Truist Club, and he has tickets in the Harris Club over at MB.
You got to pick your spots, right?
So I reached out to him as soon as the concert date dropped, and Tara, happy birthday to me. Thank you, Tara. Love you.
Wow.
Birthday present. Yeah.
So who's going?
Bo, too, from the Morning Shift is going.
Bo Morgan's going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going with one of my best friends, and then she is going with one of her friends, so there's going to be like 6 of us, and then a whole stadium full of awesome people rocking out.
Yeah. That's going to be some good people watching. Very different from last night where all the girlies got decked out to see Shakira. The boys will be decked out very differently than they were last night.
What does that even tailgate even look like? Is that just go inside the stadium and party in there? What does it look like?
Yeah, there will probably be people tailgating, I would imagine, probably 1, 2 o'clock. Gates open at 5, so because of us working, we're not going to have a whole lot of time to go down there and do a whole lot extra. Where we are, though, we got food and beverages, so we're just going to go on in.
Be a lot of bars packed downtown around Mercedes-Benz as they continue to develop that area. So yesterday you get word that there's a Zoom with Alex Anthopoulos that is coming down the pike at 6:45 p.m.
Yeah, and I was very curious about it. And on our little text, I go, what is going on? And you think, uh-oh, this is an off day. This is when people get fired. So you're very curious what's going on. Well, this just in. Matt Tuiasosopa, your third base coach, is out. And Freddie Gonzalez, former manager, former third base coach. He was with Bobby Cox for 4 years. He then went to the Marlins, won manager of the year with the Marlins, which I think everybody forgets. He got fired and then joined and then came back here with the Braves to be the manager and got fired.
Yeah, so, got fired and replaced.
And by the way, Brian Snitker was Freddie Gonzalez's third base coach. If you guys could, circle of life. There you go.
Absolutely. That's the definition of it. Listen, how much longer Brian Snitker chooses to be a manager, we don't know. We believe it'll be his decision. Although I'd say if the Braves have a terrible season, there'll be some, you know, scuttlebutt around town, certainly on the social media sites, about has Brian Snitker run his course here. But Brian Snicker's in a pretty secure position. And the last guy, the absolute last guy that is getting Brian Snitker's job is Freddie Gonzalez.
That's right.
Like, you know, and it's a very tricky deal when you bring ex-managers or ex-coaches as your guys on your bench. It happens in the NBA all the time. A lot of times those assistants are like, I don't want your job. I won't take your job if offered. And teams have to, like, fire the head coach and convince the assistant because he's trying to be loyal to the guy that hired him. I can promise you the last thing the Braves are interested in making Freddie their manager again. So that's never going to be a concern regardless. And I'm sure Brian Snitker knows that when he brings him into the clubhouse and says, we have literally switched roles. Remember, Brian replaced Freddie. Now, Freddie probably has no ill will there either.
Oh, God, they are close friends. They had brunch together in Philadelphia last week. And all this was not in the works, according to Alex, and I believe him. He has no reason to lie. But according to that Zoom presser, and Grant McCauley and I were both on there, this is something that Alex has been studying. When you start looking at one run games, where 9-14 the Braves are, they're 13-20 in 1 or 2 run games. So Braves Nation, you can count to probably 5 situations so far in the short season where there was base running errors. They stopped him when they shouldn't have, and you're thinking Eli White at second. That was terrible. And Ronald Acuna from this past Friday night. So he says, yes, he's making the change, and yes, he's done his studies. Here's Alex.
You know, look, you guys know this. I look a lot at run differential and things like that. I look at expected wins and losses. You know, our expected one-loss record is 31-27. Our actual is our actual, and I don't want to run from that. But you do have to look under the hood at times, and we've played a ton of close games. We know that. We've seen them. You guys all covered the team. And I believe we're better than we've played. We're not getting blown off the field by any stretch. There's just been a lot of close games and a lot of little things that have impacted us. And those are the things that we need to tighten up. And from my standpoint, anywhere that we think we can tighten up and get better, and unfortunately we love Tui, but we think Freddie Gonzalez at third base, because he's such a good, accomplished third base coach. And again, if he's not available, we're probably not having this call tonight.
That also was followed up on by Mark Bowman. So you're saying if you weren't going to make this change unless Freddie was out there. Is that right? And he said, yeah, we would have just, you know, sailed the...
But then the question also was, if he's doing such a bad job, why wouldn't you make a change?
Right, that's right.
Which was a better question, I thought, of like, you're telling us he's doing a lousy job. Of course you're telling us he's doing a lousy job because you fired him. But then you're saying, but we wouldn't have replaced him because we didn't have the right guy. And then the question is, well, why would you leave a guy there that's not doing a good job? Because that's what they're telling you. Our third base coach does not do a good job, does not have experience there, and we feel like has cost us games.
Yeah.
We feel like Tui has cost us games. So he's out. Now, let me just say something in the spectrum. As the Mets win again last night, and we're, I think, 10.5 out. And you look at the rest of the National League, of which, you know, there's everybody's got a better record than us. We got a lot bigger problems than our third base coach. Does that mean you shouldn't make a move? No. I mean, you think you should make a move, that's fine. Is he a scapegoat? He's only a scapegoat in the sense you haven't done anything.
I see why you're using scapegoat, but I'm going to tend to shift over to he's a problem. And the reason I say that is Alex Anthopoulos, in his 14 years in management in Major League Baseball, has never, ever made an in-season coaching change. That's at any position. Okay? And he was also asked, are there more changes? No. No more changes coming.
It's just a very rare thing to happen.
It's very rare.
For any team.
I think scapegoat means that, oh, this is going to be a big change. It's not. It's nothing that we're going to notice.
I think you're blaming him for the one-run losses. I think you're blaming. Scapegoat to me means the blame's going to go on somebody, and right now the blame's going to go on our third base coach.
All right.
And what I would say is you're telling everybody this guy's done a terrible job. I mean, you're firing a guy within the organization. Now, he takes a humbling job as infield coach
back
at Gwinnett.
That's right.
Back in the minors.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's kind of like.
So we'll hear from Freddie today. I was texting with Freddie last night. I'm a big fan of Freddie, just on a personal and professional. I was with them a long time. He got in last night about 6:30. No, it must have been 7:30. And I asked him to come on, and he said he really wants to kind of feel the way he'll talk today down at the stadium, but we'll get him on. Chipper Jones is coming on tomorrow, you guys, at 10 a.m. That is a big deal. I mean, I think, you know, Chipper doesn't mess around. Also, I went too long, but I really want you guys to hear about Marcell Ozuna and his hip, as well as when A.J. Smith-Shawver stayed on the mound and Spencer Strider has to go tell Kranitz we need to get him out. And the controversy that came after that, Steak. It's good
stuff.
Yeah,
that was great video if you hadn't seen it. Spencer Strider, middle of the inning, in the dugout, basically telling Kranitz, you need to go take a look at that.
Yeah.
And not make this worse. But Marcell Ozuna is really interesting news for sure. That that surprised me more than anything last night. Also, when
Grant McCauley, shout out, you got it.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, this is not a joke. The Georgia Tech rivalry might be in trouble in football. Greg Sankey was doing the rounds yesterday. The SEC continues to be at the forefront of decision-making and is one of those decisions. We don't know if we need to play our rival every year. We'll hear some of that. More on the phenomenon around these women's softball and college baseball. And, man, you're getting a full dose of it these days. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 939 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Steak and Sandra Golden. We will talk about Marcelo Zuna dealing with a lot that we didn't know about. Comes out of the Alexanthopoulos press conference last night. Also, nothing bothers me more than bullies in sports, especially at these big SEC programs. We'll touch on that. You just showed me a ring. I thought that's from what, Bo's
daughter.
Tournament?
Championship. This is incredible.
That's the ring that my 10 and 11-year-old softball team won from winning our bracket Sunday.
That's so you won the whole thing?
Mm-hmm. I thought you said there were several different brackets.
I was talking to you earlier. So these are like legit rings.
Yeah, they are. These are 10 or 11-year-olds. So you can see how big of a deal this is becoming.
Yeah, women's softball.
If you're in the travel scene at all, you've seen these rings, and they've been handing them out for a few years anyway. But, yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
So girls get the rings. But boys don't get rings, do they?
They do, yeah.
Oh, is it baseball gets rings as part of it? I know in soccer you get the medals, right, that you're
starting to move away from medals and trophies. And I'm not sure if soccer is going to hand out rings yet, but they probably should.
So why are they doing that? It's just cooler?
Yeah. Because they see the World Series rings, and they see the Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
And they want that. Okay. You know, so.
Yeah, that's very cool. So you guys got hot over the weekend, huh?
So good.
Lost the first game of the tournament and had a battle back. I think we won three straight through Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of battling, that's what Marcelo Zuna has been battling and will continue as that comes up. Why did that come up?
He just on Sunday he hit a home run, but he talked to Dave O'Brien about this hip. There is a tear in this hip, and it is a big problem. And Grant McCauley followed up like, is there any think of even resting him? What are we going to do, Alex?
Yeah, it's going to be a factor the entire year. But Marcel's tough. He's playing through it. He's still performing. But there's no doubt he's playing through it. And, you know, even when we took him out and we got tests and so on, he didn't want to do it. So he wants to stay in there. He's a very durable player. He's still a productive player. But, you know, it's one of those things that he's going to have to manage and get to the off season. So we've told him, look, at times, be careful with, you know, don't, you know, try to run as fast as you can down to first base. Be judicious on the base pass and so on. So if you see him at some, you know, a routine ground ball, you know, he might be saving his bullets from that standpoint. But
it's good to know that essentially you're letting the fans know if it's a one hopper back to the mound, he's barely going to get out of the box.
Right.
And don't start thinking he's not hustling. Same thing on a routine grounder is short. That's a, you know, can of corn type play. That he is not going to be busting his ass and not to turn around and go, I hate it when guys don't get out of the box, right? They're basically telling him, do not go into full mode and mess up that hip. What they want him to do is gingerly go around the bases when he jacks one up. I think he leads the majors in walks, if I'm not mistaken. So that's an easy way to get down to first. You get a walk, and you can walk down. But the last thing the Braves can handle is Marcelo Zuna not in the middle of the lineup. There is no question about that. We talked about the punch and Judy nature of the bottom of the order and just not having the depth in the lineup that we've had years ago, or certainly in 23 and 22. That's just a reality. But Marcelo Zuna now for a good long time has been the stalwart in the middle of the order. So that's what he's dealing with.
Other stuff about A.J. Smith-Shawver and his injury. And in the third inning, he goes back out there, and you saw the video of Spencer Strider running over to Rick Kranitz and saying, get him out of there. So the criticism came from, why didn't Brian Snitker go get him? What are they looking at? And the internet went, cuckoo birds. Well, Alexanthopoulos went above and beyond to explain. 99% of the time, it happens this way.
But 99 times out of 100, the pitcher will signal out with his glove. He'll step off. He'll signal to the bench. That's the way I've always seen it. Rarely have I seen it where the bench will jump out of nowhere and go to the mound. You know, I have seen the catcher say something's up and jump out and do that. That's probably the only time. But preemptively, you don't see it happen very often.
Right? So AJ didn't signal to anything was wrong. And I don't remember. I think it was Drake didn't signal that anything was wrong. So if that's, in fact, what Snitker is looking at, It was just, you know, that was his explanation, which I thought it was decent. He goes on, and I like this quote, David Price, when he was talking about when he was up in Toronto, when things aren't going great.
When I was in Toronto, David Price, we acquired in trade deadline deal, he put a sign up above his locker. And the sign said, if you don't like it, pitch better. And my view of all this stuff is if you don't like it, play better. And that's part of it, right? And that's just being accountable, and that's pro sports today. So I just think taking some context and all this stuff. I saw it, but again, these guys have been doing this a long time. They've had plenty of times that they've noticed injuries, this and that, that the catchers noticed injuries as well. So I know it could be readily apparent and so on, but I don't think it's as simple as that, and I don't think all of a sudden the world has changed that much.
All right. An interesting press conference at an interesting time of year. And all I will say is this. I don't care about third base coaches. I don't care who saw what coming out of the dugout. I do care about Ozuna because that affects the field. But all this other stuff is just a lot of just a lot of babble. Like, we've got a baseball team that is just not in the mix. We're 27-31, and I hate to keep going to the statistics. There's only three teams in the National League with less wins, right? There's only three teams.
The White Sox, the Pirates, the Marlins.
Well, the White Sox are American League. The Marlins.
Oh, excuse me, the Marlins.
Marlins, the Rockies, and the Pirates.
There you go.
That's it. And then us. And we are on our own at 27 wins. So the Red Sox struggle, not against us. The Padres are struggling, not against us. The Nationals are struggling, not against us. We got to make a run. We got to make a 12-2 run. Got to win 12 out of 14. You got to start flexing your muscles with, obviously, Spencer Schwellenbach, who was ridiculously good the other night, with Chris Sale, who was ridiculously good against the Phillies, and tonight, right?
Spencer Strider. Back tonight.
So that's how you get back.
And Grant Holmes has been the unsung, that we're not even talking about him churning up innings and doing his job. So, yeah.
But I mean,
I like the quote, if you don't like it, play better.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos has no patience for that. He's been in long enough. Now you know how he looks at it. Like, you know, it's unacceptable. That running mistake, whether it was Eli Wright or Tui, that cost you the game a week and a half ago in the ninth inning, you shed first and third with nobody out and city guy on first. That was a disaster of epic proportion in a one-run game. And basically they're saying, you know, there are repercussions. Like I tell, we always talk about it on the show. I tell my kids, you know, there's always repercussions to you know, your behavior, your decisions. Sometimes really good, sometimes bad. What he's saying is you can't have two or three mishaps as a third base coach. You won't have a job, and now you don't have one. And same thing goes for the players.
All the SEC folks have good tans, and they ate fresh grouper down there in Destin. But what did they actually do? A whole lot of nothing. And I'll go back to Rusty because I do get excited over, are they going to vote on the nine teams? And then what? And then what about the playoff? They're not voting on nothing.
No.
They got to figure out the budget, and they got to figure out how much money's coming in and going and all this. But I will tell you that there was an article written about a possibility of the SEC saying, we'll take a Big Ten. We'll play the Big Ten. We'll add that to our schedule. And I think that's in a direct kind of counteraction to the Big Ten a little bit bullying up on the SEC, saying, well, you're not in the great and powerful Oz. Well, hold on. Well, okay, well, then we'll play you. That's likely not happening either. But the latest thing, Stake, is these out-of-conference, if in fact you go to nine SEC conference games, okay, and ESPN writes you a check for $80 million. Okay. Does that in fact mean that Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, even Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, are those all gone forever and ever? Amen. Greg Sankey on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday said, hold on a minute before everybody starts attacking the SEC. Isn't the bigger problem how we're selecting teams for that playoff?
I do think you have to go back to at the forefront of everyone's mind is how decisions about the postseason are going to be made. And Dan, that's a point I've made more subtly than of late and more directly in the most recent comments, because I do think that leads the agenda of what must be addressed in college football scheduling is how this postseason selection guides people's thinking.
Oh my God, enough already.
So in other words, are we going to get four locked in? I mean, it is. It's much ado about nothing. You're right.
Dude, I am so tired of Greg Sankey, the pomposity and the condescension on the. I get it, dude. you know, you've got the best schools with the most money and the most students. You got the best athletes, the most NFL players. You got the most dominant programs. Great. That's awesome. You know, if you're Alabama, don't get blown out by Oklahoma and have a third loss. If you're Ole Miss, don't lose to Kentucky, LSU, and Florida. Don't have three losses. Listen, the committee wants as many SEC teams in there as possible. Make it a no-brainer. So just stop it. There's other conferences and other schools. Enough already.
I just hope on the chopping block it doesn't – they don't cut those rivalries.
They're not going to cut those rivalries. I mean, he can talk about threatening to do it. They're not going to add a Big Ten game and then cut the rivalries. That makes no sense. Obviously, for Georgia and the schools you mentioned, that's a hell of a, you know, another out-of-conference game to add when Georgia Tech is good as they are and you play them in your Georgia, or if Florida State gets back on track and Florida has to play them, or obviously South Carolina going through an entire SEC season and then having to match up with the best team in the ACC traditionally. That's a lot. We get it, right? But Greg Sankey, Sanctimonious is what his name should be. Greg Sanctimonious.
Look at you. Look at you.
No, that's what he should be. I'm so tired of him. Oh, my God.
Super regionals are all set in college baseball. And by the way, when did the regionals in college baseball get to be so freaking cuckoo? And the coaches and the uniforms. My goodness.
What do you mean the uniforms?
I don't know what Georgia with their hairy chest and all that was going on. That was something else. That was something else. Coaches fighting and all that. But first, let me just tell you, when the dust is all settled, because they played through last night, at the end of the day, the ACC leads all with five teams in. They were nine in the regionals. So there's five going to the Supers.
Yeah, they get more than half of their teams advanced.
That's correct, if we do the quick math. The SEC had 13 in the regionals. They are advancing with four. Big Ten has
so
two.
So less than 33%.
Yes, sir. It's Arkansas, it's Auburn, it's LSU, it's Tennessee. The five from the ACC, Florida State, UNC, Miami, Louisville, and Duke. The Big Ten has Oregon, UCLA. The Big 12 has Arizona and West Virginia. And the Sun Belt and the American and the Missouri Valley all have one team in, which I think is so cool. Coastal Carolina, Texas San Antonio, and then Murray State. Love those little stories that could. I love their big budgets versus the little budgets.
Yeah, Texas San Antonio, and I know more about them because they're in the American Conference, they're going up against the absolute powerhouse in Texas, and they sweep the Longhorns, who are the number two team in the country. Then you motivate Vanderbilt, number one team in the country. They lose to Wright State, but Wright State doesn't make it out of that regional.
Right.
But still a huge upset in that case. College baseball, I really enjoy the regional, watching teams like Northeastern and Coastal Carolina.
Me too. Speaking of, Coastal Carolina was a host site for one of the regionals, and Florida was there, and East Carolina was there. Well, that East Carolina-Florida game got moved by an hour, and when I tell you, their coach, Kevin O'Sullivan, had a major freakout on the facilities director, which was from Coastal Carolina. If you want to go to the internet and listen to it from afar, somebody with an iPhone taped it all, and there are more F-bombs in any war I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's Kevin O'Sullivan acting an ass. Do we have the actual Coastal Carolina coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, so good for him for saying you're not going to come on our field and treat our people that probably make one-fourth an income that you get at a Florida athletic department. Imagine what Coastal Carolina players get.
Yep.
And he made it real clear. By the way, they win the regional. They advance to the super regional. They're moving on. Florida's going home. Here's their coach.
This is a national champion coach who thinks he can come in here and try to bully people around. Disappointed. Disappointed. Somebody that a lot of coaches look up to. For him to act that way, really disappointed. He disrespected a Hall of Fame coach who's the site rep here. That's all I got to say.
You have another one of those? Yeah, that's what it is. Scott Strickland, athletic director at Florida, said he had met with O'Sullivan and found his actions well short of university's expectation. O'Sullivan apologizes, saying, my emotions got the best of me, and channeling that energy in a way he should not have. He apologized to the entire NCAA regional field, the NCAA, and Gator Nation. Good for you, Coastal Carolina, for saying that's not going to happen,
that's
and
exactly
I am going
right.
to call your butt out. I loved it. And I hate that kind of stuff.
Me too.
And again, it's bothering me a little bit the way the SEC is carrying it. We have a lot of listeners that are Big Ten fans, Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State. We got a lot of Big 12 listeners that live here, even, you know, some of these Northeast programs. It gets old that the SEC thinks they're blank don't stink. And Georgia carrying on with those uniforms the other day? What? I've never seen that.
I have never. Well, the whole, well, I watched a lot of it because Mississippi State against Florida State, and I don't know if that coach is out there still, Mississippi State's coach still arguing balls and strikes and didn't get thrown out, and Link Jarrett did. That's another story for another day. But, yeah, guess what? You guys stunk up the joint. And so, SEC, take your L and party
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Bye. You were not great at baseball this regional tournament.
Florida
coming
there and bullying, and Wes Johnson's team talking the way they did. The kids with the uniforms buttoned down to their navel. But I've never seen that at any level other than maybe hitting fungos at 7:30, 7:30 game, maybe at 4:15. Right?
You see shirts unbuttoned with undershirts a lot. But with no undershirt?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Braves will do the unbutton with the undershirt underneath and the chains.
I'm more bothered by the bat flips and the MFing
and
into the other dugouts throwing your glove like you're a two-year-old. I'm like, is that being tolerated at, like, NYO? Like, where are they learning this behavior?
First of all,
this is insane.
The last place it's tolerated is youth baseball. And every single coach listening.
Learning it then? Where is that okay that they're going to pull that crap at a regional?
Definitely in college.
Somebody, y'all call us. 404-72. Danny Hall, call in. You're listening.
He's not calling it.
He's on vacation. Vacation, isn't he?
He's done with calling.
By the way, that's another one. They had no business being in Oxford, Mississippi. So there.
Okay, well, don't.
And Florida State's now got to travel to Corvallis.
How about this? Don't lose to Murray State, okay? If you're Danny Hall, don't lose
to
Murray State.
They also need to reseed.
Murray State
NCAA, you also need to reseed. Okay, and you also need to reinstate that kid, the Garcia kid from Duke. That's a sham.
Well, people don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to tell them.
You're getting way too fired up about college baseball.
I'm going to throw my mitt right
into
that window.
Is that all you did all weekend is watch college baseball?
Don't be judgmental.
All right. When we
I watch a lot of sports. You eat a lot of burgers. That's the difference.
When we come back, lots to get to. Why you're not going to watch.
Sure will.
You're not going to watch the CBS football game. Now it's the Big Ten game at 3:30. Anywhere near the way you used to. Big news in television. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, 10 o'clock hour right here. It's brought to you by, who are your buddies over there?
WiseGuysProWash.com. Tell them I sent you. You get $70 off, but just clean it up, folks. Clean up that house.
Yeah, pressure washing, man. I ain't going to do it. I'm sorry.
Do you know anything about it? Have you ever pressure washed anything? I don't even know why. I'm asking you. Let me talk to the real men in the room. Bo and Caleb, have either of you ever pressure washed something yourself?
Yes.
Right? It's a pain in the
neck. Patio, your back.
Driveway.
I have a really... That's a real job, driveway. Depending
my
how long
HOA
it
is very...
Caleb, have you ever pressure washed anything?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit therapeutic, but...
Cathartic?
It's certainly not easy.
Yeah. Listen.
It's very... that's a perfect word, cathartic. It's satisfying.
The end of it.
It's so fun to do the first couple of rows, and then I'm like, seriously, the whole driveway? So anyway, guys, WiseGuysProWash.com, they're great. And they do use those soft bristles. That's something you should be asking anybody that does your house, because if they don't and they get up next to your house, your screen's going to be all jacked up in your paint, and that's terrible.
All right, let me say this about our comments about Georgia baseball prior to the break. The antics at Foley Field have been well documented. So much so, and I think you heard us yesterday, Sandra.
Yes.
MLB started their 10 o'clock hour with DeRosa on nothing. They don't cover college baseball on a regular basis. This is like the middle of the regular season for Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees just played the Dodgers the night before with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and all that, right?
Right.
I mean, we're knee-deep in the season. They opened with the Georgia baseball uniforms. That's how they opened. And they were joking, like, what the hell is this right here? My buddy Steve-O, who I've been buddies with for a long time, massive Georgia fan. He's like my other buddy, Joe Gentry, who listens all the time. He's like Rusty. These are hardcore. Any Georgia sport, they're all over. He said, we deserve to lose. The bat flip in front of the dugout was classless. Horrible karma got them. I was happy we lost. Josh Brooks needs to get on Wes Johnson's butt to cut that out. It's embarrassing as a Georgia grad and a Georgia fan. You ask the question, where do you learn that that behavior is acceptable? It's not in Buckhead Baseball or East Cobb or Alpharetta. Maybe it's your high school if you're the bonus baby that's headed to Georgia. Think about how good you have to be in high school to get a scholarship to play baseball at Georgia. And I've said this about the SEC.
Right.
Any coach from the SEC or from Georgia specifically that calls you to play sports there, you are the best player in America. Not the absolute best, one of the best.
Okay.
So any sport, that's gymnastic, that's swimming, that's baseball, dare I say it's basketball, it's certainly football. Like, you're living in you know, Madison, Wisconsin, and you get a call from Wes Johnson, you're one of the truly great players in the state of Wisconsin. So you've dominated your entire career. I don't know what high school coach is allowing your shirt to be unbuttoned to the navel for you to strike somebody out and walk towards their dugout, for you to have the level of bat flip stuff that's going on. It's college baseball. Like, the pros are the pros for a reason. They get to showboat more. They are grown men, so to speak. It was embarrassing. And I'm asking, like, where really it was kind of a throwaway, and Sandra said it, like, what do you mean, where are they learning it? They're not learning it from 10, 12-year-old baseball, I guess. But maybe they are, and maybe there are coaches out there that have been in leagues. Or let me ask you about travel ball. Are there cocky teams from Tennessee or Mississippi or Georgia? Is East Cobb let their kids, you know, carry on with bat flips and walking towards the dugout? But the backlash against Georgia and Wes Johnson, they're going to be loaded next year. He's an absolute master at the portal. They're getting the greatest athletes. Always going to get rid of a bunch of kids saying you're not worthy of playing at Georgia. They were the number one team RPI going into this tournament, but it is leaving a bad taste on a lot of people's mouths to watch those antics.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need for it. It's just not a good look. What was a good look, and I've been reading even more about the game, even though I watched it, that Oklahoma game last night, I'm just going to say something. It's not anywhere near the same level, but there are similarities to Caitlin Clark and Iowa. First of all, it's the lead story if you go to ESPN.
He's talking about Texas Tech, Oklahoma softball, Women's World Series.
You got a young lady that transferred from Stanford that told you she's the first million-dollar player in softball history, Najari Kennedy, okay? Mm-hmm. Najari Kennedy has thrown every single pitch in the Super Regional, Regional, and World Series, okay? She is Caitlin Clark. She is literally a one-man show that has brought the Red Raiders at 53-12 to a chance to eliminate Oklahoma last night. There's two strikes and two outs in the top of the seventh and the last hitter in Oklahoma's lineup. That's their softest hitter. Abigail Dayton hits a two-strike, two-out homer over right field down to their last. That's their number nine hitter. That's not their power hitter. She's got three homers in the year. She just homered off a girl that literally is the story, Najari Kennedy.
Right.
That alone is insane. Oklahoma's down to their last strike, and a number nine hitter hits a two-run homer off her. And then Texas Tech comes back and says it's not all about Najari. They put a rally together and win it in the bottom of the seventh, which allows Najari to say, my girls picked me up. What a great moment that was. That was great television. Parents crying in the stands is great television. Girls just, even the Oklahoma girls are like, if we're going to lose after four straight titles, that's the way to lose. Battling to your final out. The coach at Texas Tech saying the last person in the world I want to beat is the starter for Oklahoma because he coached with her in Louisiana. You know, this whole story.
Oh, wow.
You see them crying after the game.
Oh, no, I didn't know any of
the
that.
Tears
That's cool.
after mm-hmm. the game were real. It was just incredible sportsmanship. It was an incredible. Her name is Sam Landry, who played for Texas Tech's coach at Louisiana last season. Landry had the name of Glasgow, the coach's late daughter, who passed away in a vehicle accident in 2019. She wrote it in her glove.
Oh,
she was the opposing pitcher. They had a 20-minute hug after the game. It was awesome television, and it was awesome sports, live sports. And then you have the Georgia nonsense. I don't know, man. 404-726-0929. We have any calls on that?
I think you're picking on, not even picking on, you were watching that. But I watched a lot of these regionals, y'all, and I'll pick on my own Florida State Seminoles. For that pitcher to MF that guy and call him a little B, I believe it was, like what are they doing?
I didn't see it. So
and the Mississippi State and the bat flips. I mean, it seems like every game I was watching.
We are not the old crotchety
people. We kind
of
are, maybe, and maybe that's the – y'all just tell us. Are we out of it? That's the way they play college baseball now? Maybe. I just found it
I don't
a little
know. Do you like watching guys on the field in nice, clean, white – buttoned up, classy uniforms, and
there's a reason
good.
It's called a uniform.
Right? Yeah.
To be
and
uniform.
It looks good. And it looks
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And it looks good, and it's the way you want to present yourself. I don't know. You want to go to a job interview in like flip flops? Like, there's a reason you dress the certain way that you dress. Playing a game and look buttoned up as a teen. There's a reason it's called buttoned up, right? So you tell me if that bothered you. That's a Georgia fan texting me. I heard from a number of them.
And maybe it's the high school. At the high school level, is that starting, the antics?
Right. Yeah, maybe you're
I mean, you guys
stuff.
Told me when the Latin players came over here, when they're at home, this is encouraged, and it's a different game than Major League Baseball in the States. So maybe we're just late to the party. Maybe in the high schools this is what's going on.
I doubt it, but let's ask somebody.
All right, so Belly up. I want to hear about the news station, too, State.
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about big news at WANF up the street where we've been watching the SEC on CBS until last year.
And Duke baseball, you're going to hear from their coach about, once again, the NCAA doing the wrong thing at the right time.
I like angry coaches. I like that. 404-726-0929. Get off your keister and let us know if you're having a similar reaction. We got that. And I'm thinking about, is there a bet on the NBA Finals or a bet on the NHL Finals? Are they eventually going to play these games? When are these things starting?
They begin in September. September the 3rd.
Let's just play. I'll tell you another thing that's great for college women's softball is that there was no Braves last night. There was no NHL Finals, and there was no NBA Finals. And that game was so damn compelling, a 2-0 game to 2-2 to the bottom of the – that was awesome. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steak and Sandra rocking and rolling. Let's take some calls. We're asking, like, my buddy Jeff Wolverton, who coaches the high level at NYO travel team and all that, and he texted me and said, definitely happening in travel ball and high school to what Sandra was asking about.
Okay.
Devin and Decatur. Devin, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. I just wanted to call in and comment and add my 2 cents on the conversation. So I'm actually an umpire, and I umpire pretty competitive baseball from ages, I'd say, 10 all the way up to 18. And I'm not sure if it's a trickle-down effect or where exactly it's coming from, but it's definitely happening at the younger ages, too. You have kids bat flipping, trash talking, cursing each other on the field. And honestly, I blame the adults, because one thing you never notice is the coaches really saying anything to a kid. They strike out, walk back to the dugout, throw their stuff. And it happens at all ages, as young as 9, 10, 11. So
what
it's
is
something that I see on a consistent basis.
What's the umpire's opportunity to step in there? Is there any? Are you able to give warnings to kids if you think they're getting out of line with trash talking? Well, what's the responsibilities there?
So as an umpire, you try to, you know, keep it kosher between both teams. So we do institute warnings, and in some extreme cases, like not too long ago, I had a kid hit a home run and bat flip his bat almost as high as the actual fence of the field. and will actually throw a player out. But a lot of the times, instead of being met with support from the coaches or even the parents, you have a lot of parents who obviously will get upset at you as the umpire and coaches as well. So I'd say just the sportsmanship aspect of the game and just the respect factor in general is kind of out the window.
Yeah, that's
at this
disappointing.
Point.
Yeah, and what a great, thanks for the call. What a good learning moment it would be as a parent to have a great athlete as a kid, see him do that and get the home run taken away and be able to tell your kid, okay, now you learned something. Now you've learned something about respect, sportsmanship, how to treat other people in life in general. Lenny and Jackson, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Lenny?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I mean, you got to look at it like this. I mean, as a kid, you grow up, you're looking at, you know, your idol on TV. And, you know, if you're a baseball player, your idol hit a home run. You know, he bat flip, you know, talk trash. Football, your idol score a touchdown, you do a touchdown dance. I mean, you have to think about, When you added money into the college sports, these kids, they ain't kids anymore. They're young adults. So they looking at it like, I mean, who can actually tell me? The coach can't tell me. I mean, the coach pissed me off. I'm gonna go to another team. I'm gonna transfer.
You're right.
Going to Porter.
He's
so
right.
It's like
yeah.
The coaches pretty much are, you know, they coaching with their hands tied behind their back, really, you know.
That's
but the simple fact
point.
Is, I mean, it's only so much you can say to these young men now.
Well,
so, I mean,
yeah, it depends how much power. I mean, listen, Kirby Smart has absolutely no problem whatsoever throwing a guy off practice or in his face.
And, I got one more point to say.
Yep.
I got one more thing to say. It's not your bottom athletes that's doing it. It's your top athletes, your number one picks, you know, your guys like that. So you really don't want to take a chance of losing that guy.
I hear
so.
You.
It's the money. You're right. I didn't think about that.
I mean.
Thank y'all for taking my call.
Good
Thanks,
call.
Buddy. Paul and Sugar Hill, you're on Sports Radio 92.9. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. I'm also an umpire. And, yes, you can eject a player for making a mockery of the game. And it is on the coaches. It is on the associations that run the programs that are causing this problem. But I will tell you that gentleman is 100% correct. You will lose some kids. You will lose some parents if you don't show interest like that and don't allow kids. They say kids to be kids. But I will tell you, State, there's no room for it. We don't need to be making backflips at Georgia. Snicker doesn't need to be running champagne in his locker rooms when he wins the division.
Well, listen, that's a separate deal. We're trying to figure out where the culture of your shirt unbuttoned to your belly button and walking towards the other dugout and MFing them, where that culture is coming from. And you're telling us as an umpire and as youth coaches that the best players are doing it. And coaches, listen, you coach a 14U team and a parent is unhappy with you and threatens to go to another travel team, you're worried because you only get 12 kids or whatever and you want that kid. He's your best player.
And they
player.
Can make that switch midseason?
They can. They could take three kids with them.
Okay.
They could do all kinds of things.
And that makes it very that does make it very difficult for an umpire to survive in a situation like that. And that's where it is a lack of respect. And it's not meant to be mean, but they are learning it, and they shouldn't be doing it.
Have you ever had a coach thank you for setting his players straight, for possibly threatening to throw them out? Or had a coach say, "Hey, good job here. I think we're teaching that kid a lesson." Does that ever happen?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the biggest lessons I learned as an umpire was that you don't let a coach run out on you. And I didn't. The first game I ever umpired, I ejected a coach for coming out on the field on me. Right. Well, for the rest of that season, I didn't have anybody else coming out on me.
Yeah, no. I thank you for the call. I just wondered if coaches ever appreciate you're sending a lesson that my kid needs. All right, we got a lot belly up here. Let's do it.
I'm going to take you back to the Athens Regional. Duke was playing Oklahoma State. Duke is down 2-1, bottom of the eighth. There's a young man by the name of AJ Gracia that hit a solo home run. Okay, so now they're getting back in it. Okay, what they do for a celebration stake is they come in and they give them these construction helmet. It's white with the Duke logo representing blue collar. Okay, the NCAA rule is you may not have celebratory props on the field, only in the dugout. Not on the field, only in the dugout. Four batters later, Sam Harris scores two, one from first. So now they take the lead 3-2. Got it? So the whole team goes up. They're celebrating their own guy, and AJ Gracia came off the top step to sell. He's not showboating. He's not stepping toward the dugout. He's literally just up there celebrating. The ump was waiting, threw him out.
Yeah, threw him out, which means you're out for the next game.
That's
you're suspended,
right.
Which is only the College World Series. The Duke AD said we're going to appeal it. Coach, do you have the cuts from the coach?
Yeah, this is the coach, Duke's coach, who, by the way, won the Athens Regional, and they will play. And here's Coach Chris Proctor.
This rule and this type of action by the umpire, why people get so frustrated with the NCAA. I'm disappointed for AJ Gracia that he won't play in one of the biggest games of his life when we start the Super Regional. I'm disappointed for Duke baseball, and I'm disappointed for college baseball. And I want to get that off my chest. And if I get fined, I get fined. But we deserve better than that. AJ Gracia deserves better than that. Our sport deserves better than
that. All you needed to do is say, son, just take that off here, dude. I'm sure you didn't mean it.
That's right.
He wasn't trying to show anybody.
Don't forget, he forgot
to take it off. Just say as soon as he hits the field, hey, kid, take it off.
Yeah.
Or just get off the field and just go, oh man, I'm sorry.
Right.
Would have turned around and this thing would have been put to bed.
What is the story with the CBS affiliate?
CBS WANF, which is where CBS 46 for 50 years covers, gives you CBS programming. What does that mean? It means the NFL on CBS is on CBS 46. It means the SEC on CBS is on Channel 46. It means the Masters is on Channel 46. It means March Madness is on CBS 46. Well, they have ended their relationship with CBS. So Channel 46 is now an independent. They will not have 60 Minutes. They won't have CBS Sunday Morning. They won't have NCIS. It all moves, I think it's
69.
To Channel 69. Hey, now. And CBS 46, it already does 8 hours of news a day, will lean into more local programming. Remember that they also own Peachtree TV. So the Braves many nights are on over-the-air TV on Peachtree. They also put Hawks games on Peachtree. So now I would imagine more local games like the Braves and Hawks will end up on the 46 channel. And if you're looking for your favorite sporting events, because they have the best, they got NFL, Mass, everything else. Not that it means that much. You just have to, nowadays, listen, you just hit, you know, sports on your guide and you'll move it there. The reality is most companies, whether it's Paramount or owns CBS or NBC that owns Peacock or HBO that owns Max, are putting all their best shows on streaming anyway.
Right, you're right.
So unless you're really old, you probably care about the shows themselves. You can watch NCIS anytime on streaming.
Yeah.
But the sports stuff now is a little weird because they're on a totally different channel. So
we should get that GM back in. He was so nice, kind of tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
Just Eric crank Schrader. This up for a second, if you will, Bo. I mean, Steak and I love a good Broadway show. And years ago, Steak went to see Jersey Boys on Broadway, and he came back and he said, it was literally one of the best shows you've ever seen in your life, correct?
Yeah, it was the hottest, most fun show ever.
Well, if you liked that, guys, especially, Ain't Too Proud is playing at the Fox this Friday and Saturday. There's three shows total. It is in the same vein. The music jumps off the stage. It is the most talented singers and dancers. All Motown story of the Temptations and their struggles and who they found. It is phenomenal. I saw it in New York years ago, and I cannot brag on it enough. If you're looking for a great date night for you and your, I'm telling you guys, you will like this. You will love it.
All right, I love it. Taste of Motown at the Fox.
Oh, is it good?
Coming up. Sandy has it all. We'll play Three Strikes, talk more about this youth baseball stuff. Maybe you can educate us some more. And a little bit, we got to make a play on the NHL Finals and the NBA Finals. We'll do that when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9. Number one sports talk radio station, number one lineup, home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United. We didn't like that game. Was that over the weekend in New York? Yuck. Yuck. That was bad. But, you know, they had like three games in 8 days, so they did have a couple of great home games. But we are the home of all those teams. Falcons, a lot going on there. I guess there was a fight at Falcons between
David Onyemata
and
Matthew Bergeron
that Smoking Joe Patrick said it was like a legit fight. When the cameras were no longer rolling, those guys got into it. Raheem was not happy after practice. I kind of think everybody kind of likes that. Also, the news that Kyle Pitts has to be treated gingerly. I thought that's what we do with him anyway. But he got an injury that he is nursing.
Foot.
Yada, yada. I'm tired about, you know what I mean? Like, less Kyle Pitts talk and less Kirk Cousins talk. Let's just get to the season and talk about our rookie first rounders. Let's talk about Michael Penix. Let's talk about Bijan, who just got back, I guess, from Germany, which was a hell of a trip.
I saw that. Nice. Yeah.
So that's all coming up as well. Well, when is the hockey stuff start? Is that tonight?
No, tomorrow night. Wednesday night is hockey. Thursday night is the NBA.
All right. I like the idea of Canada getting another cup. I don't know why, but, you know, or should I call him our 51st state? But I think Edmonton and David McDavid, he's one of the great players. Sean McDonough, who's very friendly with Drew Butler, said that David McDavid is one of the greatest hockey players he's ever seen in his life. He's just insane. But the Panthers going for a repeat, beat Edmonton last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm tempted to take Edmonton. I feel like it's a rematch. But then this Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a very rootable team, the Indiana Pacers. I'm not telling you anything.
Do you have the odds for the NHL? Back up a second. What are the odds for the NHL?
Very small favorite is Edmonton, minus 120. So very small favorite in that series. I assume that maybe Edmonton's the home series. Let me see. Yeah, they're minus 130.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, who had a great playoffs, are plus 110. So the series is just about even. What's not even is Oklahoma City. Caleb, you got a thought on that series? If somebody was listening and trying to figure out. By the way, you have to bet $100. You have to bet $750 to win $100 on the Thunder. -750. If you bet $100 on the Pacers, you win double.
Yes,
what say you?
You're the big Pacers fan, right? If you want to go for Pascal Siakam as Finals MVP, plus 1,600 or plus 700 for Tyrese Halliburton to win Finals MVP.
Yeah, so if they win, either way, one of those two should probably be it. But I'd rather probably bet. Well, the Pacers, what do you think about the Pacers at 2-1 odds to win the series?
I mean, I'm not picking them. I think it's going to be Thunder and five, quite honestly. I think you get the Pacers are able to win a game at home, but this Thunder team is just way too dominant defensively for what they're going to be able to collapse on Halliburton and stop Siakam. It's going to be the rest of that those role guys stepping up and knocking down some really crucial threes, and I just they haven't been here at this point. I don't know if they can do it.
They're going to have to play out of their mind.
Absolutely.
Not to say they didn't do that against the Knicks. And I mean, listen, they beat the Cavs 4-1. Cavs won as many games as Oklahoma City, right? I mean, they were right there. But I'm not giving up 700 odds. Listen, if you bet the Knicks against the Celtics, do you understand what you gave up for odds? The Celtics were 900 on 100. 900. If you had the Knicks, you probably got back 700. So there's huge underdogs that have won in the playoffs. The Pacers were that against Cleveland. I'm going to root for Indiana, but I probably won't bet them. And I'm taking
it. You know who I really love is that Miles Turner.
Yeah, he's
so charming and funny.
He's impressive.
I like him a lot.
I don't want to call them role players. All those other guys other than Siakam and Halliburton are very rootable.
Yeah, I agree. So, I want the Pacers to win. Hey, thanks to our wise guys, ProWash.com, for bringing us the 10 o'clock hour. And John Foy, I bet he'll be front and center tonight for our game of the night. The Braves taking on the Diamondbacks at home. 7:15 first pitch is Spencer Strider, Zach Gallen.
It's time. It's time for Spencer Strider to come out and get it done tonight. I like the Braves tonight. They're a little bit of a favorite. I liked the Red Sox on Sunday a lot because of Garrett Crochet, who is their best pitcher by far. He's their best pitcher. They just signed him to a massive deal. Like, he was 4-4. He's not a 4-4 pitcher. He's better than that. And then, of course, who was he throwing against? Bryce Elder.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about Strider tonight. It's time to Spencer Strider to go win a game. Like, he's going to go out and win this game tonight. And the Braves, you know, I think had the day off at home. It's just like, let's just get to work. Let's just get to work. We're playing at home. We got Arizona. Come on. So Braves are the play tonight. Take it from me. Take the Braves this evening. It's time for Spencer Strider to have a game where you just go, okay, that's what you need. Here are three strikes questions. It's my son Bobby's 14th birthday today. Best gift someone could give you at 14. What would be, at? Think of yourself at 14, what's the best gift somebody could give you? Yourself at 14. A player you blame for blowing a season. A player that you blame for blowing a season. The Braves have told you who they blame for their season. Their third base coach. He got fired yesterday, and Freddie Gonzalez has come in. So any thought of who the problem has been? It's these one-run games. It's our third base coach. So a player you blame for blowing a season, and appreciation for tattoos on a scale of 1 to 10. Appreciation for tattoos. I'm thinking a little bit about Metallica.
I don't think you're allowed to get in if you don't have a tattoo.
Tonight?
They do that at the – you have your ticket and a tattoo. Yeah. Yep. Or you can probably get a free tattoo outside. What do you think about tattoos on girls? You find that sexy?
I think, yes, given make it a little bit understated, right?
What if you were on a blind date and she was absolutely smoke show and she has a big neck tattoo as she arrives at your house?
How does she look from the neck down?
From under I just that. Told you. He doesn't, okay, you don't care about
I don't
the tattoo.
Mind for a date. I don't, yeah. You know. I don't know that I'm going to introduce it to my grown children, but or let's assume, you know, I don't know if we're going to.
So stop talking.
So, I'm assuming Kimberly has found somebody better. I'm out dating. You're asking me.
Sandra, you mentioned the tattoos. Post Malone and Jelly Roll were in town a couple weeks ago. They were doing tattoos out next to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
They were doing them?
Before the concert.
Oh, I knew it. Yes.
Best gift someone could give you at 14, a player you blame for blowing a season, and appreciation for tattoos 1 to 10. Let's fill the lines up, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Caleb or Bo will take the call. I do want to run this one piece again. Can we run the Florida, the Coastal Carolina coach? Well, we have a couple of minutes because we ran an hour and a half ago. Cassandra's been telling you that her life is very full. She's been watching more college baseball than any woman I know.
But if my Noles, y'all are in it, and they can win the whole
you.
Thing.
Are they so that good?
Awesome.
Are they that good?
They're that good.
Who did they beat in their regional? Were they at home?
They were at home. Mississippi State was the super stud, and I forget the other two teams.
Okay.
It was Mississippi State.
But it was in Tallahassee.
It was in Tallahassee.
Did they win all their games? I didn't even see, like, did they have any losses
They
at all?
Did have, I don't remember.
All right.
It was too much baseball. All I know is they got to travel now to Oregon to play in Corvallis because they were the 9th overall seed and Corvallis was the 8th.
Okay, so at least
they do not reseed, you guys. Somebody just asked on Twitter. They don't reseed in the NCAA baseball. And the higher seed is home. That's it. So how about the Coastal Carolina-Auburn matchup, you guys? That's who's playing each other in the Super Regional.
I like that.
I know, right?
Who else? What about, like, Texas-San Antonio? Who are they're playing Texas.
UCLA.
Oh, UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I assume
UCLA.
Out there, right, in L.A.?
Yep, mm-hmm. And Murray State and Duke.
Okay.
LSU in West Virginia is the battle.
So is that in Baton Rouge?
That's in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Arkansas and Tennessee.
Yeah,
Arkansas is hosting.
Powerhouse. Okay.
Coastal Carolina, Auburn.
Nice.
North Carolina, Arizona. And then Florida State, Oregon.
Who's the home team, North Carolina, Arizona?
North Carolina.
Okay, so Chapel Hill gets that.
Mm-hmm.
ACC did well. Here's the Coastal Carolina coach. If you haven't heard, they're the number one seed. They're playing at home. And what happens is the Florida's
playing East Carolina, and they had to. The game is at Coastal Carolina. They're the host. They had to move the time back 1 hour.
1 hour. That's it.
That's it. So Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan proceeds to MF up and down the Coastal Carolina director of stadiums there and let him have it.
Yeah, Kevin Schnall saw it.
He also saw it with his eyes.
S-A-W. And he wins the regional and wants you to know that not only did they win the regional, but they're going to win the press conference by absolutely calling out, absolutely letting the country know that Kevin O'Sullivan of Florida is a jackass.
This is a national champion coach who thinks he can come in here and try to bully people around. Disappointed. Disappointed, somebody that a lot of coaches look up to. For him to act that way, really disappointed. He disrespected a Hall of Fame coach who's the site rep here. That's all I got to say.
He also says,
Didn't he sound like James Franklin?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Doesn't he sound just
he
like
He says, by the way, Florida AD apologized for him.
Yeah.
O'Sullivan apologized. Mm-hmm. He said, sticking up for his guys, my ground crew, my
you're making me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Am I crazy? That's a good one.
Like, my guys work so friggin' hard. They're not paid like SEC personnel. You know, we're a smaller school. And to berate them on the field, I want to see that video. You have the video of him screaming.
Go
right?
just Google it because it and the shots of it are literally because obviously the Coastal Carolina facility is not exactly what the Florida is.
I love videos where bullies get theirs, and the internet's filled with. I don't like seeing people get beat up to a pulp. Although I've seen those the subway videos of guys taunting.
I don't like any of that.
But what I do like is the Karens. That are being super abusive, that right. they get those videos out, or people getting arrested and giving the old, you know who I am, or carrying mm-hmm. on. And then you find out later, like, oh, yeah,
you were
no.
You're a big fat jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's what this guy's getting. Every type of behavior, good and bad, is going to elicit some kind of ramification. And boy, did he get his. Let's do it. The best gift someone could give you, Aussie. At 14, what would have been the best gift they could give you?
The best gift I could have been given is like one of those Porsche experiences, man. Just sitting in the car that you always have a poster in your wall on. And that would have been a really, really cool gift at 14.
A player you blame for blowing a season. A player you blame.
Kirk Cousins. Last year, you could just go sit down.
Good one. Appreciation for tattoos, 1 to 10.
10 out of 10. If you commit to something to be on your body for the rest of your life, more power to you.
Paul in a truck. What's the best gift you could get at age 13 or 14?
A new set of golf clubs.
A player you blame for blowing a season.
Eugene Effin Robinson.
Man.
Appreciation for tattoos, 1 to 10.
5, take them or leave them.
How about Mark Wohlers? Do we not blame him for...
Who listens daily? Steak didn't mean that, Mark.
People.
He's a big-time realtor and he's
people
awesome.
People blame him, and I'm not saying that's fair.
Stop it. I'm not... Sorry, Mark. I'm sorry I work with Steak. I'm sorry Steak hates you.
Well, I don't hate him at all. He's a great guy, but I'm just saying...
I love Mark Wohlers.
Clearly.
Don't.
Coach Washington, best gift someone could give you at 13.
A B9 Black Magic 3229 baseball bat.
A player you blame for blowing a season.
Kyle Shanahan.
Great one.
Oh,
this may
good?
Be the best question.
That is a great question.
Appreciation for tattoos, 1 to 10.
6.
Thanks, buddy. We're all over the place with that. Are you here tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I'm here Wednesday and Thursday.
Chipper Jones on tomorrow?
Chipper at 10 a.m., y'all.
All right.
I bet he has a hot take on this behavior and the activity.
Yeah,
with these
and
players.
And also third base coach and all that stuff. Hey, have fun in Metallica tonight, Bo. We'll review tomorrow.
We won't see you tomorrow, right? Are you taking the month off to recover?
Are you not in tomorrow?
Are you going to get a face tattoo?
Not in tomorrow, and then there's a Nooner Braves game on Thursday.
Oh,
so
you're on a bender, bro. You're on a bender. Good for you. All right, we'll see you. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.